God calls believers to holiness. Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley explains what that means from Scripture.
Holy means something that is used specifically for God or exclusively for Him and for His purposes. So God's people are set apart from all others. Those who trust in Jesus Christ have been taken out of the world and are set apart for God Himself.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We're surrounded by things that are set apart for a certain purpose. Your toothbrush, for instance. You don't want that used for anything other than brushing your teeth. Well, God wants believers to be holy, to be set aside for His kingdom purposes. Today, Pastor Ray points out the practical meaning of holiness.
Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. We're going to look at the Last Supper that Jesus had with the disciples and talk about Jesus as our Passover. So beginning in verse 12, it says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread." So we've come to Passover, and now we're going to find out more about it and how the Lord celebrated Passover with his disciples and the new meaning he gave to it. "When they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?' And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes, in, say to the master of the house, the teacher said, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room. It will be furnished and prepared,' Jesus said, 'and there make ready for us.' So his disciples went out, and they came into the city and found it just as Jesus had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now in the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me.' And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, 'Lord, is it I?' And another said, 'Is it I?' And he answered and he said to them, 'It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born.'" Wow, that's pretty sobering. Here this night where Jesus gathers with his disciples is one of the most important gatherings in history. Jesus, or his Hebrew name, Yeshua, celebrating the Passover Seder, as it is called, with his disciples, or otherwise known as the Last Supper. Now, Jesus is about to become our Passover lamb, and he's going to take Passover to an entirely new level, invariably reaching out and even beyond the tribes of Israel and embracing the entire Gentile world so that whosoever would call on the name of the Lord should be saved. But then this night, as so they're all reclining and they begin the Passover meal, how would it be if somebody at the table says, "You know, one of you is going to betray me before this night is through"? Well, that's exactly how this meal begins. Jesus says, as they're reclining on their elbows, just beginning to relax and beginning to enjoy the meal, "One of you is going to betray me." Now, when Jesus said that, all the disciples are shocked. They cannot imagine, what is he talking about? They knew one another. They had been together. They were friends. They were brothers. They had shared some amazing experiences for over 3 years. And not one of them could imagine betraying the Lord, except one. And there was one there named Judas who acted surprised, but who in fact if you remember earlier in the Gospel of Mark, has already made and struck a deal with some of the leaders who wanted Jesus arrested. For 3 years, Judas was one of the guys. For 3 years, Judas had his daily devotions. For 3 years, Judas believed. For 3 years, Judas followed Jesus. For 3 years, he was sent by Jesus with others, preached about the kingdom, probably prayed for people, miracles happened, people became believers through the ministry and the life of Judas, but there came a moment in time when at this very moment, Jesus was not using his obvious supernatural powers to bring the kingdom in the way that Judas saw, that Judas threw the towel in and he said, I quit. I'm not following you anymore. And I'm going to get out of it what I can. He let go of his faith and he had a very bitter end. So now that has made its play. Now verse 22. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. It is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the Passover, it always has, the entire meal, it does include bread, but it's only unleavened bread, or unleavened bread in Hebrew is called matzah. So Matthew's account implies that Jesus took a particular piece of bread, or matzah, from the table. And even in modern times, when Jewish families have a celebration of the Passover, there is a point during the meal when all of the focus comes upon a particular piece of bread or matzah. And I'm going to come over here and show you. So let's say here it is. See this? It's kind of a pillow and it's got some nice writing on it. And here it's got these candles. And inside, there's three compartments. There's a compartment at the bottom. Then there's a little kind of a slip there, and there's another compartment, and then at the top, there's another compartment, and in each one of the three compartments is some matzah or bread. And here's something you may notice about this bread. It is always baked with stripes, and also you should notice it has holes or it is pierced. So this bread, the unleavened bread, now leaven in the Bible is a type of sin, so bread without leaven is a type of sinlessness. Isn't this a great picture of the body of Jesus Christ? So here's what's amazing. We have these three loaves of bread, and in this, obviously, especially our Jewish brothers and sisters, they start seeing all of these things, and they go, wow, God, who is one, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and yet the word for God in Hebrew is plural. He's a plurality, yet he's still one. Here we have three loaves of bread in one pillow case kind of a deal. And it's interesting that during the meal, they take out the middle matzah. So there's one, then there's two, and then there's three. They take out number two, and what they do is they take the bread and they break it basically in half. And they take half of the broken bread and they put it back into the middle compartment. Then they take the other piece and they fold it up, or you might say they bury it, and then they hide it. Okay, so you take this middle piece, you break it in half. The other half is called the afikoman. As I mentioned, and I put here into your notes, it's wrapped in linen, and then it is hidden. Now, what they usually do, then they go on with the meal for a while. And then, at a certain point later in the meal, they tell the children. So, you know, maybe the father has hidden the afikoman, and then later in the meal, the children all know this is their special role to play. Okay, kids, and get all the kids down to the front of the table. You go throughout the house. The afikoman has been hidden, and whoever finds the hidden afikoman will get a special reward from Papa. And usually the reward is something from the wallet of Papa. It's going to be some money. So there is a mad, frantic, powerful search. And finally, one of the children finds it. The middle piece that was broken in half, that was buried and hidden, and then was later found and was discovered, that is the bread that is now taken by Jesus and broken, and everybody at the Passover meal takes a bite of the bread of the second piece of matzah that was broken with stripes and pierced and buried and hidden and discovered. Who does that sound like? Is that an amazing, awesome picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's exactly what it is. Now, Afikoman, there's a whole history behind this, but this is a Jewish festival. The word Afikoman is Greek and comes from a couple of different words. And I put into here from Barney Cosden. He's a local Messianic rabbi, a friend, a brother. He's Jewish who believes Jesus is the Messiah. And he does this meal where he goes into greater detail showing us all of these things. But what the word Afikoman means is it returns, or if it's personalized, he returns, or he comes, or even he has come. It's talking about the Messiah, that he has come. And what's amazing is Jews all over the world are taking the middle piece that's broken in half, hidden, buried, later discovered and found, and then eating it. This is the bread where Jesus came and said, "This is my body, which was broken for you."
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
So many listeners have shared comments on what Pastor Ray's teachings on Maranatha Radio have meant to them.
Pastor Ray introduced me to my beloved Jesus, taught me of Jesus's love, and how important Israel is in biblical prophecy. His faithfulness to honor Israel shined brightly and will for all time. Pastor Ray was such an anointed servant.
Listener comments are so encouraging. If you'd like to express your thoughts and tell us how these messages have impacted your life, would you take just 60 seconds and write an email? Send it to ray@raybentley.com. or post it on our homepage at raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, I put into your notes here Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. We're going to go through the four cups of wine quickly, but just so that you have an understanding and the significance of one of those four cups that's part of our communion meal. So let's read out loud together Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. "Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." All right, now read with me, or listen as I read to you, verses 23 through 26. "Then he," Jesus, "took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." And we'll stop there. So there are four cups. The first cup in the meal. So everybody has, imagine all of you have a cup, but it's the first cup, and it is called the cup of sanctification. This comes from, and all these cups are found in that scripture from Exodus that we just read, where the Lord said, "I will take you out of Egypt." And so the first cup is sanctification. What it means is, thank you, Lord, we, the Jewish people, have been set apart. They were set apart from the rest of the people of the world. And the Hebrew word used for cup is kadosh. It means set apart. In other words, this cup, there are some cups that you can use for anything. This cup is only used for God. It's set apart for God. And that's what holy means. Holy means something that is used specifically for God or exclusively for Him and for His purposes. So God's people are set apart from all others. Those who trust in Jesus Christ have been taken out of the world and are set apart for God Himself. What it means that you're sanctified is that God has set you apart from the rest of the world. So they take this cup and they drink it, and they give thanks. Then they take the second cup a little bit later during the meal. And this cup is called the cup of deliverance. God said, I will deliver you from slavery to the Israelites. They were no longer going to be under the bondage of slavery. They had been slaves for over 400 years. Now listen very carefully. This is a powerful cup, the cup of deliverance. If you do not know Jesus Christ inside of you as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a slave to the world, you are a slave to the devil, and you are a slave to your flesh. You're a slave. You are in bondage. You are not free. For all the liberal people that say, I do what I want, when I want, how I want, no, they do not. They act like it, they think like it, they talk like it, but in reality, when it boils down, they are enslaved to their flesh, to their fleshly desires, to worldly passions and pursuits, and are being manipulated by the prince of this world, the devil himself. But when Jesus Christ comes, he sets you free. He delivers us from the bondage of sin. We are free. We don't have to follow or serve the devil anymore. Can I hear an amen out there? Now, what's interesting is this cup of deliverance is also known as the cup of plagues. How many plagues were delivered upon the Egyptian people? There were 10 plagues. And although this cup represents freedom for the Jewish people, from ancient times, we are taught and told, and if you've never been taught this, you can hear it tonight, we should never rejoice in the misfortunes of evil. Or when other people are going through judgments or harsh times, or even if they're unbelievers and you go, oh, look, you know, God's getting them or whatever. Do not rejoice in that. That is a great sin and it's a great evil. And that's why this cup is literally emptied by dropping 10 drops, one for each of the plagues, onto the plate. And the idea is that you don't drink from this cup to rejoice in the taste of the wine. It's like, oh, this one, we have sympathy for those who suffered during those 10 plagues, but we rejoice that we have been delivered. We're delivered from the world, from the flesh, and the devil. We are set apart for God. Amen? The third cup is called the cup of redemption. This comes from God's promise where he said, I will redeem you. And the word redeem basically means to buy back something that was lost, and you are purchasing it to own it back once again. You have been redeemed. By the way, this is the cup that is taken right after the main meal, immediately after the Afikoman bread. We'll break this bread, and we've all, the bread that was broken, the bread that was in the middle, the bread that was hidden, the bread that was found and discovered, and that bread that is eaten, it is after that meal and after the Afikoman that the third cup is now to be shared by everyone, the cup of redemption. And it means that we have been bought or we have been purchased. The Heavenly Father literally paid a price for the physical redemption of his people. And in biblical times, it was very clearly understood that it was by the death of the Passover lamb and its blood shed on the two doorposts and the lintel beam above that we were brought back to God. God bought us. He purchased us with the blood of a spotless lamb. And those doorposts, the two doorposts and the cross beam are a picture of the cross of Jesus, where he spread his arms this wide and said, I love you this much, and his head with the crown of thorns, he purchased and redeemed us. We believe that it was then this cup, the third cup of the Passover meal, that Jesus then took and said, this cup, the cup of redemption, where I bought you. I bought you from, I had to purchase you out of the slavery and bondage to the world and to your own flesh and to the devil, but I bought you and now you're mine and I'll never let you go, and I bought you with the blood of the lamb. Only now it's not the blood of an earthly physical lamb, it is the blood of the lamb. Jesus is saying, it's my blood. This is the cup then of the new covenant, my blood. As John the Baptist had pointed to Jesus 3 years earlier along the shores of the Jordan River and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That was Jesus. And now Jesus is affirming that. And then we come after the cup of redemption to the fourth cup. The fourth cup is the cup of praise. This is where the Father says, I will take you for my people. And this is where they begin reciting the second part of the Hallel Psalms, which are Psalms 115 through 118. And it was at this point, I mean, this is the climax of the meal. This is the fourth cup. This is the biggest celebration of all. It's where you get thanks and praise. We are free. We're set apart. We're delivered. We're redeemed. Oh, let's rejoice. What a meal. We're free. Hallelujah. It was at that very point in the Passover meal at the Last Supper, Jesus did something surprising. He did something unexpected. He did something that took their breath away. It was at this point that Jesus said, I'm not going to drink this cup. Not yet. The cup of praise. When everything is right and when my kingdom has come, I'm waiting on this cup. And here's what he said. He said, I will not drink this fruit of the vine again until the day I drink new wine with you and my Father's kingdom. And Jesus had said to his own people, until you say, the Jewish people, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We're living in the days where God is working upon the Jewish people, obviously, and Israel. He has regathered them physically, but now he is wanting to sprinkle clean water upon them and renew their hearts spiritually. And it has begun. The sprinkling of water has begun. There is a new, great, mighty, moving outpouring of the Spirit among the Jewish community of believers in Yeshua, Jesus, that he is the Messiah, the Savior, the Passover Lamb of God. And they've reached right now, approximately, there are 15,000 believers, brothers and sisters, who are Jewish in the land of Israel. Now, that may not sound like a lot to you, but it has reached, in Israel, in a small country, what they call critical mass. There are now articles about Jews who serve in the army, who sometimes die on the battlefield, who serve as doctors and lawyers and teachers and workers in schools and who lay down their lives. And there are some who are saying, you cannot be Jewish and believe in Jesus. And even under great persecution from some of the ultra-Orthodox, but it's interesting, you know how the media is always kind of liberal, right? So the media, because they don't really like the ultra-Orthodox, they come to the defense of the Jews who believe in Jesus, saying, what's wrong? Why can't you, you know, be a Jew and believe in Jesus? And so they're kind of, in a way, defending them and saying, hey, they have a rightful place. They're laying down their lives for this country. They love this country just as much as any other Jew. And so there's a shift that is going on in the psyche of the whole Jewish community, which is impacting literally, virtually around the world. We have never been in such a time, in such a place as we are today. And I've already told you before how in the Muslim world, there's never been a time where more Muslims are coming to faith, having dreams and visions and Jesus appearing to them. You and I are living in awesome and extraordinary days. And Jesus is coming back, and he is coming back soon.
Pastor Ray Bentley, painting a picture of Jesus Christ by way of the celebration of the Jewish feast of Passover. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled, Jesus, Our Passover. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you're there, you can leave a few words in tribute to Pastor Ray's life and ministry. And under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his new book called The Final Witness, an eye-opening prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full 5-book series called The Elijah Chronicles. You can too. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.